Welcome to the Smut Hive, where each week we, Jillian and Morgan, review a romance book, drink something yummy, laugh our asses off, and rant about what we loved, what we didn't, and of course, talk about hot, smutty sex. There will be spoilers, so if you want to read it first, close now and come back later.
We would like to note that this is an explicit podcast where we may talk about many taboo topics that include explicit sex scenes, subject matter that could be sensitive to some, and filthy language.
Hi, welcome back to the Smut Hive.
Hi. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, I'm back.
You're back.
For a minute.
You're just going to pop up when you can.
Right, I'm popping in when I can. I did love last week's episode with Kim.
Yay.
She did so good.
She did. She was so nervous. She's so cute, but she's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple little kinks to work out because you are the actual technical advisor of all things Smut Hive, where I am not.
Yeah.
And so it did take me over an hour and a half to figure out how to work the software program that we use because my microphone was not working. And even my son was there to condescend and make fun of us. But yeah, by the end of the day, what we figured out is that the actual microphone wasn't turned on. So
Whoops.
Yeah, you left these poor folks in my very incapable hands.
Yes.
So it is what it is, man.
Yeah, so I'm back to record this week. And then I'll just kind of be popping in when I can. Well, A, read a book, and B, find time to record. Travel softball is about to be in full swing, so I am mentally preparing myself for that.
Yeah. It'd be fun, too, if we can try to plan one with Kim and you as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'm just going to take you when I can get you,
yeah,
and we'll do the best that we can.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to keep rolling episodes
That's
out.
That's right.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to continue my TikTok rant.
Mm-hmm.
This will be like the third one, I think, that I found something to be pissed about.
Okay.
Okay, but this one might be a little bit more on me than it is on everybody else.
Okay.
So this is book related.
Okay.
This is the whole controversy. I don't know if you've heard this because I know you're so busy you haven't gotten a chance to like book talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know about the audiobook narrator guy and all his shenanigans?
I saw something about it. I think maybe Sienna Snow posted something about it on her Instagram.
Yeah.
But I didn't really look. I saw it and I meant to like look into it and then I got distracted and then I forgot. What happened? What did he do? Like sexually assault someone or something?
I don't know. Like, I don't think so. So what is it? Arden is the last? Joe Arden or something like that? Like, I recognize his voice from many a book, right?
Yeah.
And my deal was, is that like, I think the first one I saw was an author that we've done before. Now I can't remember her name. But she was basically telling the book talk community, like, please don't return my audiobook because, like, that's a big thing, right?
Okay.
So this is what happened. Like, the guy pissed off the book talk world, and I'll get into that in a minute. But what you're seeing is now authors coming out and saying, we're really, really sorry. We didn't realize he was problematic. And they have contracts. Right.
Okay, yeah.
So they can't re-record the book for X amount of time.
Right.
Because he was paid to be a narrator.
Right.
So listen, people, like, don't return the audiobooks. That's not
so
the
are people
author's fault.
Returning the audiobooks because he was
the narrator.
But what did he do? Like, what did he do that was problematic?
I heard a couple of different things, and you don't know, like, what's true and what isn't.
Like, I'm thinking, like, he, like, sexually assaulted somebody or something terrible.
I got two separate things. I got one, bad business practices, but I don't really know what that means
because
no one is really saying what those practices are.
Okay.
The other one, the world might get mad at me, but listen, I'm just going to tell you right now. I did not do research.
Yeah.
I did not look into everything everybody had to say because, frankly, I just didn't give a fuck.
Right.
I'm not in love with the man who does my audiobook. I bought the book for the author.
Right.
The author wrote the book.
Right.
I like audiobooks. I bought it for the author,
right,
not who
not
she picked
the voice
for fucking narrators.
Right. Right.
They're not famous to me, so I don't really give a fuck. But I saw one example, don't know how true it is, but one example was, this was a married woman who started to DM the Arden guy, and they apparently had a relationship, sexual.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think they ever like got together. I think it was just talking through Instagram or whatever. And then she's like, but he was married. Well, so were you. So why is he problematic? Because he cheats on his wife, but you're not problematic because you cheated on your husband. You know what I mean? So he's a scumball. So like, I don't understand why we're not taking accountability for our own fucking actions. You know what I mean? Like, the world is canceling him because he's a problematic person, because he's married and talks to his fans in sexual ways. Cool. Well, where is it that the fan who knows that he's married isn't taking accountability for the fact that they're participating in this? So yeah, he's a fucking scumbag. Okay. So how's that the author's fault that you're so mad at him for choices everybody made?
Right.
And then you're basically hurting the author by returning their books, which they have no control over who this guy sticks his dick in.
Right.
Really?
I don't.
Now, there's so many authors that did all the politically correct thing. They came out and did all their apology videos.
Right.
What the fuck do they have to apologize for?
Right.
They didn't do anything wrong. TikTok made this motherfucker famous, okay? So he has a voice. Great. There's five other male narrators that say, good girl, the way that you're supposed to in an audiobook, okay? So TikTok fell in love with him. And then every author had to use him because fans were like, you have to use him. He's the sexiest voice, blah, 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 blah. And now he's labeled problematic for whatever the fuck it was he did. And now we're canceling him and we're returning the audiobooks, therefore punishing the authors. It's some bullshit.
So as you're telling me this, I'm looking it up because I'm actually very curious.
Yeah.
And... unethical business practices and sexual misconduct is what it says.
Right.
But apparently, like, he's quoting people more than the industry standard for doing an audiobook. That's one. He allegedly pushed for a female author to go in explicit detail about the sexual content in her book, and she felt uncomfortable doing so. That's confusing to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's your book, author. So
right.
How are you letting a male narrator that you're paying to read your book?
One, apparently a fan met him at a signing and it led into sexual conversations and images being shared for several months. This was before the fan discovered the narrator, him, was married and confronted him about it. After which he doubled down and there was a heavy sexting conversation. How do you not know he's married? What do you mean?
Well, and then again, it goes on for a couple of months and the sexual information is only coming from him and you're now offended by it. No, bitch, you participated. You know, you participated.
One fan said he plays hot and cold, often abruptly ending conversations. He's truly a master of gaslighting is what. Okay. I don't know, I still don't see, I mean he can put a quote on his own work however he wants. If you think it's too high, then don't hire him.
Right.
Like, I don't know why that's unethical business practices.
Well, even if it is unethical business practices, we're not paying him.
Right.
We're book people.
Right.
Okay? First of all, the fact that fans have a say is just ridiculous to me. We need to calm down. Fans, you need to calm down. You need to stop canceling people, stop labeling people problematic. It's none of your fucking business.
Right.
You as a consumer and reader, you choose.
Yeah.
Okay. So you like, who'd you just mention? Sienna Simone or Snow?
Yeah.
Okay. Sierra Snow. We love her. So you like her, you buy her book. Okay. You want to read her audio. You have her audiobook. You buy the audiobook. You're buying it from her.
Right.
So she chose the narrator. Okay. Yeah. And she's just doing what we're telling her to do. Oh, you have to do this guy because he growls. Fuck you.
Right.
Work it out. Yeah. You know, don't come back on these authors. Unethical business practices. That's author business.
Yeah.
That's not fan business. No. We didn't pay this motherfucker for nothing. We bought the audiobook from the author.
Right.
So we have no business in their unethical business practices. Right. That's author talk. Y'all need to keep that to yourselves.
Right.
And if, as an author, a businesswoman, you choose to cancel that man because of the shit he's doing business-wise,
yeah,
that's y'all's business.
Yep.
That should be on author talk, not on regular book talk.
Right.
Because as a fan, it's not our fucking business.
Right. Well, everyone is always in everyone's business.
Yes. Stop it. And just like the whole problematic canceling plagiarism, you created this and it's
you
never
don't
been
like
done
it,
before.
Then don't read it.
Don't read it. Don't read it. Don't buy it. Pass. Right. Go on to the next one. Right. That's the thing. There's 500 billion books in the world.
Right.
If you don't like one, you don't need to cancel the author for
right.
it.
Right.
Fuck
just move
you.
On.
Fuck you.
There are people that actually do like it.
Yes.
Let them live their fucking life.
But to see these authors that we love and that I personally bought their books yeah. and stuff for, and to have them basically begging the community.
That's wild.
Stop returning the audiobook. It's not our fault. As soon as the contract is up, we will have it yeah. re-recorded on our dime. And girls, yeah. I feel so bad for the authors.
Yeah, they're losing out.
Now listen, women, come on. You want to buy audiobooks because this man growls funny or growls awesome and it tickles you in your down home tickle places. Cool. Then you decide, oh, I'm going to DM him and as a fan. Okay. And then he DMs you back. Oh, and then you're getting a dick pic. Oh, yeah, what I heard was that went on for months.
Right.
Where's your accountability, Missy Thang?
Right.
You accepted the dick pic and probably sent something back in return.
Right.
But you're shocked and shaken that he didn't turn out to be a stand-up man. Okay. So why is that anyone else's fucking business?
Right. Also, you threw your own self under the bus.
Didn't y'all just hear my thing about mistresses?
Yeah.
Like, if you knew and you did it and he didn't meet you or
right.
whatever, like, catfishing. Like, there's things you can do
yeah.
to protect yourself. But you got wrapped up in the growly voice.
Right.
And the down-home tickle.
The growly voice. I feel like I need to hear what this is. What is this?
I don't
I'm
fucking
going to have to
know.
Look it up.
I don't fucking know. But I just feel like, A, take some accountability for your own shit.
Yeah.
Takes two people to sex, dumbass.
Yeah.
Two, if he puts you in an uncomfortable position, you should tell somebody of authority, not book talk. And three, stop fucking with the authors.
Right.
Because this motherfucker read the words the author wrote.
Right.
You fell in love with the character the author wrote,
yep.
not the douchebag reading it.
Right.
So, again,
yep.
if you disagree with me, cool.
That's okay.
You want to have a conversation about it? I'm all motherfucking ears.
Right.
You know how to reach me.
Yeah.
But that is my third installment of what's pissing me the fuck off on TikTok today.
I like it.
Yay! Okay, you read a book.
I did.
I know what this is. I'm so excited because I put this in my to
yeah.
be read and then just haven't. But
yeah.
You're going to explain it to
yes.
me.
So a couple, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, we did an episode on a book called Nero.
Yeah, we did.
And part two, book two, came out, and that's the one I read. So it's called King, mm-hmm. Alliance Book Two by S.J. Tilley.
And he was the...
King is the best friend of Nero.
And he was so interesting
yeah.
in the first book.
So he was... In the first book, he was very, like, sassy.
Yeah.
He's, like, the sassy friend.
Yeah.
He's also his business partner. They run the Alliance together. So, essentially, they killed off the mobsters and made their own mob,
yeah.
mafia, whatever. And they run shit.
And
so,
isn't King, like, he was more of the face? Because Nero had to be...
The opposite. So,
okay.
King was quiet.
Okay.
Like, kind of behind the scenes because he was wanted to protect his family because he had family to protect.
Okay.
So, this book basically starts with King has come out as the second part of the Alliance. So, now everyone knows that he runs the mafia.
Okay.
So, he's no longer, like, a quiet partner. He's out there.
Okay.
So... King has a family. He lives a fairly normal life. He runs his own business outside of the Alliance.
Do you mean like family, like wife and kids and shit?
No, like he
okay.
has like parents that are still married that he has a relationship with. He's got sisters that he's close with. So he's kind of an all around, like, family is important to him kind of guy.
Okay.
I mean, he still kills people.
Okay. Well, yeah.
But he doesn't, like, kill women, or they have, like,
codes,
like, very moral codes, the Alliance does.
Well, not really moral, but.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
And him and Nero are still, they're BFFs.
Right.
This book was, well, so hot. King is hot. He's older. He's like, not older, but he's like in his early 40s.
Okay.
That's their age. He's of course rich. But he's also very funny. Like, I laughed out loud quite a few times in this book. And I love that. Like, I love the mix of sexy and funny. And, you know. Okay. So the book opens with Savannah. She is, like, our main woman character, and she is an artist. She is with her, we're going to call him her boyfriend. His name is Leland. Though they've only been on, like, a couple dates, but her friend had surgery, so she's going to her friend's house to bring her a meal, and, like, Leland wanted to go, so she was like, ugh, fine, like, we can go. So she shows up at her friend's house, and her friend is like, oh my gosh, like, I forgot you were coming today. Like, I have company, but you're more than welcome to come in, da da da. So they walk in, and they meet her friend, her friend's friend, who I can't think of her name right now, Avery.
Okay.
And Avery's brother, whom is King.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So they walk in, and her friend's like, you know, Avery, this is Savannah, and this is Leland. And Avery's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And Leland is her husband.
What?
Right. So she, obviously, Savannah is like, oh my fucking God, you're married? Like, I can't, like, she was mortified. Yeah. Mortified.
Yeah. She didn't sign up to be a mistress because she didn't know.
Right. Okay. So, and of course, Avery is like, you're a whore. Like, I can't believe that you're with a married man. And Savannah's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And King is just sitting there. Like.
Contemplating killing Leland, I suppose.
Yes. And he basically tells Leland, like, you're a piece of shit and I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
So they leave. And Savannah's like, oh my God, like, I am so sorry. I mean, she feels terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you can find your own fucking way home. Like, I'm not, we're done. Like, don't call me, don't talk to me, don't contact me, all the things.
Yeah.
So he leaves. He, like, walks home. And she goes to leave. And she realizes that he has her keys. Like, she left her keys in his apartment to get into her house.
Yeah.
So she walks to his house to go get the keys, and she sees King kill Leland. Like, he murders him.
Oh, shit.
Because King isn't playing around.
Well, yeah.
Like, you fucked around on my sister. Like, you're dead to me. Well, literally.
How does this happen, though? How does Leland have his own plate? Is it, like, his fuck pad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so he has a fuck pad. Yeah. Okay. So,
but he knew King is his brother-in-law, right?
Yes.
So he kind of knows, like, he was, don't fuck with.
Yes.
So you chose to fuck with your sister. Awesome, Leland.
Yeah, you're a fucking idiot.
Plus, your name is Leland.
Right.
I'm sorry. But right. You got to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's brought up in there too. Like, whose name is Leland, you know?
I would say my name is Lee before I would say Lee.
Yeah. Well, and I think Savannah calls him Lee. Like, that's how she knows him. But when the wife, she's like, Leland, what the f-? You know?
Oh God.
So she witnesses King murder Leland.
Well, I mean, you know,
right.
It has to happen.
So she's like, holy fuck. First of all, why is he so hot?
Yeah.
Right. Also, you just murdered somebody. He deserved it, but not really.
And I still think you're hot.
Right.
You're a murderer. And
right.
I'm in charge of my mental health.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
It's fine.
But also I need to run.
Well, okay.
Because I'm scared. You're hot, but I'm scared of you.
Good.
So she runs.
Okay.
And he's like, motherfucker. So he has to go after her.
Yeah.
And he catches her and he ends up kidnapping her. Like, he kidnaps her.
Well, he has to.
Yep. And he's like, she's screaming and kicking him in the dick and all sorts of things. It's very funny. But he's like, would you just fucking calm down? I'm not going to kill you.
Yeah.
I just need to figure out, like, what I'm going to do with you.
Right.
And so he calls Nero and he's like, meet me at my house. Also send a cleanup team. You know, like, I'll tell you the situation later. And she's like, help me. Like, he's kidnapping me. Like, help me. And all Nero does is laugh. And she's real pissed. Yeah. Now, 'cause she's like, who fucking laughs? I just told you I'm kidnapped. And
right.
So anyway, so Nero's like, well, just take her to one of the warehouses. Like, there's a room in there that she can stay in. And for some reason, King he likes her. He likes that she's sassy and she's fighting back, but also there's just like something about her that he is drawn to. And so he decides, instead of taking her to said warehouse, he's going to just take her to his mansion.
Okay.
Instead.
Well, naturally.
Right.
Yeah.
So they pull up to said mansion and she's immediately like, he's gonna fucking kill me and lock me in the basement and I'm never gonna see the light of day again. Mm-hmm. And he has to carry her everywhere because she refuses to move. She like won't move. So he ends up taking her to his bedroom and he's like, this is where you'll stay. Don't try and run because you can't, everything is locked down, so don't even try it. I'll give you one night in here alone. And then I'll be back. Like, we'll be sleeping in this bed together. And she's like panicking,
mm-hmm.
but also, why are you so hot?
Mm-hmm.
I can't even look at you without my panties getting wet kind of situation.
Okay.
So he leaves, he locks her in this room and, she sees this big massive dog that's like guarding outside the bedroom door.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, excuse me, sir. Is this dog gonna like kill me? Or like, what's happening with this big massive dog? And he's like, oh, that's Duke. And she laughs at him. And she's like, you're fucking pretentious as fuck naming your dog like royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, if you try and run, he'll kill you. So don't try and run from this room. And then you find out that Duke is not, I mean, he is a guard dog and very protective, but he never gave Duke like the kill order,
mm-hmm.
per se.
Mm-hmm.
So Duke is just very like cute and lovey, but she doesn't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So she tries to get out of this room.
Okay.
She's trying to throw chairs at windows. There's like fingerprint locks like to different doors. And every time she tries to put her thumb on it, it like zaps her.
That's awesome. I'm assuming she can't break the windows.
Nope.
Bulletproof glass. No, nope.
Because he walks in and he's like, ma'am, those do not break. So stop, because you're just going to like hurt yourself. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides like, okay, this is my life right now. I just need to accept it. Also, I'm exhausted. So I'm going to take a hoe bath because I refuse to get naked when he can walk in here. She goes into his closet and like picks his clothes,
mm-hmm.
Obviously because hers are all gross. And when she's in the closet, the dog, like the housekeeper came in to like bring her food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible food. It's like beef jerky and like sour candy and a water bottle. It's terrible.
What the fuck?
Yeah. She's like, you live in a mansion, but
this is your food.
This is your, right. Mm-hmm. So, when the housekeeper comes in, the dog gets let in and all she can think of is like, this dog's going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So she like tries to run back into the closet, and slam the door, but the dog like gets in before the closet closes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can imagine, she's like laying on the floor on her back, 'cause she like basically flung herself in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog is like standing over her with like his paws on her chest, you know? So she's like, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And he just starts like licking her.
Of course.
And she's like, this motherfucker. He lied. This dog will not hurt me.
Right.
And King was like, you can hear him, like, she can hear him, like, running up the stairs because he thinks something's wrong because the dog did bark. Mm-hmm. And he walks in and he's like, Duke, what are you doing in here? Get out. And the dog won't follow his orders. And he gets real mad about it, obviously. And he's like, I think he wears silk boxers. Like, that's what he wears.
Okay.
And so in a lot of these scenes, like, he'll run in and he's just wearing silk boxers.
So his dick is flinging out.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's like, can you put on clothes, but not really?
Yeah.
Because I can't focus. I'm supposed to be scared of you. Like, you kidnap me. We're like, I'm falling for my kidnapper, whatever. So
I'm not a silk boxers fan.
I don't.
I like the boxer briefs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Okay.
So she decides, like, I'm going to bed. And he's like, all right, the dog and I will go sleep in the other room or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he leaves. She, like, goes to bed. And it cuts from her to him. And he's in his office. And he's like, what am I going to do with her? Like, I don't want to, like, obviously keep her here against her will because she deserves to have a life. But she's now in danger, for starters, because now she's connected to me in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I can't have her telling anybody that I murdered someone. So, I guess we're going to have to get married.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
So, he calls Nero, and he's like, I need you over here in the morning. Nero's like, why? And he's like, just don't ask questions. I just need you here in the morning. Don't tell Peyton, which is his wife now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell Peyton anything about what's going on until I figure out my shit. So, he's like, all right. So, he hangs up, and he decides, you know what? I am going to sleep in my bed because fuck this guest room. So he goes into the bed,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't wake up. So she doesn't know. And they wake up in the morning and she has, like, cuddled herself up to his body.
Mm-hmm.
And she wakes up and she realizes, one, that there's a man in her bed.
Mm-hmm.
Two, that he lied because he said he wouldn't be in said bed. And three, he left the door open.
Okay.
So she decides, I'm going to fucking
run.
I'm running.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, is she has his pajama pants on and he's like 6'3" mm-hmm. and she's like 5'6". So she can't actually run because the pants are under her feet.
Mm-hmm.
So she tries and he's like, God, why are you doing this? You can run, but you're not gonna get anywhere. You can't even get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she runs and slips. He's following her, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
She slips and is, like, about to tumble down the stairs, and he catches her, except he catches her, like, and falls down the stairs. So he, like, lands on the stair and she lands on his dick.
Mm.
And he's like, you broke my balls, basically. Wow. So he's, like, wailing.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to hurt you. Like, I just wanted to leave. And he's like, well, you've fucking gone and done it now. So he picks her up. He takes her to the office. Nero is in the office. Nero's like, what am I doing here? And he's like, you're officiating my wedding today. And she's like, what now? He said, we're getting married. And she said, I'm not marrying you. And he said, you are marrying me. Nero is going to marry us. And she's like, and you, I recognize your voice. You laughed like you're a piece of shit. And Nero's like, all right, we have a sassy woman here. Mm-hmm. I will be more than happy to marry you to her because she's going to be a fucking nightmare for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they get married in an office. He has on silk boxers. She has on his
pants,
his pajamas that are 15 million sizes too big.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically like, you will say I do, or I have this file. And the file that he compiled is pictures of all of her family members that she is estranged from. She doesn't really speak to them, but it's like her parents that they're like retired golf course, like playing golf, and like her sister and her sister's kids. And he doesn't actually say like, I'm going to murder them, but he's like, this is why you will say I do. Mm-hmm. So she says, I do. And then they kiss. And he kisses her by throwing her on the couch and lays on top of her and just makes out with her. And she's like, shit. Mm-hmm. Shit, 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 shit. I'm attracted to you and you're a good kisser and this is going to be a problem for me.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, this is my wife.
Wow.
So that's part one. Mm-hmm. So we're going to break.
Yep.
And then we'll be back.
Okay.
Hey, Smut Hive listeners, just a quick reminder, don't forget to go onto our TikTok and Instagram page, like, follow, do all the fun things. We also have a link in our Instagram bio that takes you to Spotify and Apple. Leave us a review. Okay, we're back.
Yep.
Okay, so they married now.
Okay.
And Nero is like, okay, my work here is done. Is there a reception with like food or what's going on? And King's like, get the fuck out of my house. Right. Like, you must leave.
Yeah.
So basically he tells her at this point, this is why we're married. We're married because you saw me murder somebody. I can't have you telling anyone and have it mean anything. Mm-hmm. Because we're married now, like, you're protected just for the simple fact that you're my wife, but also because you're my wife, now you're also a target. So you're going to have bodyguards.
Okay.
All the time.
Of course.
But you can't leave the house until I can trust you. When I can trust you and trust that you're not going to go batshit crazy, like, you can go anywhere on the grounds you want, but you can't leave.
Right.
So she does... she does sneak out. Obviously, she doesn't get far. He ends up having to, like, I think she goes to a different city. Like, she drives over all night. I think it's maybe Chicago is where she ends up going.
Okay.
And one of, like, the mafia Chicago guys that are not necessarily friends with King, but they have like an agreement, sees her and basically calls him and is like, yo, your wife is here. So I don't know what you want to do with that. And he's like, I'm going to need you to grab her, snatch her up, scare her a little bit and hold her, please.
Jesus.
You know, while I get there, cause I'm going to have to, you know,
right.
I'm going to have to drive there. So Dom is this guy's name.
Okay.
Takes her to like his whatever house and locks her in a bedroom or whatever. And King gets there and he's pissed. He's like, all right, like clearly I'm going to have to like fuck some sense into this woman. So he opens the door, slams it, locks it, takes off his clothes and says, get naked now. And she's like, excuse me? And he's like, I'm not fucking around with you. I'm going to fuck you right now. You're going to like it. And when we're done, we're going to have a discussion about what in the hell today was. So they fuck.
Of course.
And it is. Woo!
Is it so good?
Steamy. And he is dirty. He is dirty, dirty, dirty. She likes it. He is bossy and obviously likes to take control. And she likes that because I think she's been having to like kind of hide like her sexual desires.
Okay.
And he like lets her just go free with that.
All right.
So they're done. They leave. They end up flying back. She's not happy about it because Nero is piloting the plane and she still doesn't like or trust him, obviously. Mm-hmm. King is like, listen, he's my best friend. We're in business together. You're going to need to get over it because he's not leaving. So that's kind of that. So they live their married life. I mean, she comes back and she's mad. So she is like huffing and puffing. And he basically takes her to this room that he had made in the house. And it's this massive art studio. Because obviously at this point, he's made her move out of her janky house and her little studio that she does art at. Mm-hmm. Because it's not safe there. And she starts to cry because no one has ever done anything like that for her. And he basically tells her, like, the world needs your art. Like, you're amazing and talented. And basically the reason she's estranged from her family is because they told her that art isn't something that – it's a hobby, right? Like, it's not a job. It's not work.
Yeah.
And they never supported her. So to have him support her – I think this is when she starts to, like, fall for him, even though she just ran away from him.
Yeah.
So he kind of leaves her be, and she decides to start walking around the perimeter, and she runs into like the, I guess servant's house in the back of the property. Mm-hmm. And there's like a husband and wife, and one's like the house manager or whatever. And her husband's like the gardener landscape guy. And then there's another girl who's the chef. And they're, like, all sitting out on the back of the patio and, like, smoking weed. So she partakes, and he finds her high as a kite, laying starfish in the grass. And she's saying, like, really cutesy, nice things because she's high.
Of course.
And he loves it and hates it. And everyone on that works there is like scared, obviously, that they crossed a line. And he's like, the next time you want to get my house or my wife high, if you could just, you know, let me know ahead of time so I'm not out here searching. But the reason that he found her out there is because he has a tracker on Duke, and Duke was laying on her. And he's also pissed about that because he calls him a traitor.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they continue to have really hot sex, and he like takes her to an event, and also his sister hates her still, obviously.
Well,
but you find out that she never slept with Leland.
Oh, okay.
And King thinks that she did, and he feels a certain kind of way about it. And obviously the sister thinks that she did because she thinks she's a whore. And she ends up telling his stepsister, Val comes over to like meet her, and she like, they get drunk on margaritas, and she like spills the beans about her and Leland and like their relationship, if that's what you call it. And Val tells King everything that she said, and he feels like a big old douche nugget.
Oh.
So he tells his sister, like, you need to pipe the fuck down. This is my wife. You're gonna get along with her. You're gonna like her. That's the end of the story there. Mm-hmm. They go to a fundraiser. Some guy looks at her wrong at this said fundraiser. He ends up getting the shit beat out of him in the bathroom because King's having none of that. And he's basically like, if I see you, like, if I see you around after this moment, I'm going to kill you.
That makes sense.
So he breaks both his arms, and they leave. And they have really hot sex. And, highlight. Okay. This kind of gave me Den of Viper vibes, kind of, sort of. Mm-hmm. So wakes her up in the middle of the night, and he's like, I have a surprise for you. Like, I've been wanting to do this for weeks now. Let's go. And she's like, I don't have any clothes on. And he throws her a dress, and he's like, just put this on. So they drive for a while. They go into like the woods. They drive through the woods. And they come upon, like, this big warehouse building. Mm-hmm. Again, this is the middle of the night, so it's, like, pitch black out. And they pull up, and Nero's there. And he's like, are you sure you want to do this, man? Like, I feel like this is weird. And King's like, fuck off. Leave. You know? So he takes Savannah down into this basement turns on a light, and there's a man sitting behind like plexiglass, like a glass, like a, you know, like a glass wall.
Okay.
And he's tied up mm-hmm. and gagged. And Savannah's like, what is going on here? Like, why, what's going on? Why? And he's like, well, I told you that I want to fuck you in front of somebody, but I just can't because I'd have to kill them because they've seen you naked. Mm-hmm. So I figured if I'm already going to kill somebody for unbeknownst reasons that I don't need to tell you about, I'm going to let them watch us fuck because I'm going to kill them afterwards anyway. So that's what we're doing here. We're going to fuck in front of this prisoner man.
Wow. Okay.
So she's hesitant at first, but she has like the whole, like, I like to be watched vibe, which I think he picked up on like during a previous sexual encounter. So she's kind of hot for it. And the scene is very hot, but what's not hot is the description of said prisoner getting a boner.
Ew.
Obviously. I mean, he's watching a couple have sex, but right.
But we don't need to know.
I don't, you know, I didn't love that.
Yeah.
But then as soon as they're done, like, he's like, all right, go out to the car. And then he kills this man. First of all, the first thing he does is cut his dick off. Yikes.
Yeah.
And then he kills him.
Ugh.
And she's fine with it. Like, she doesn't have any feeling about it, really. And that kind of shocks her, I think, a little. But I also think it proves that she's, like, okay to live in his world.
Yeah. Like, she's given that acceptance.
Yeah.
Like, horrible things are going to happen.
Like, he is a bad man.
Yeah.
He's a good man to me. And he's a good, he is a good man in certain aspects of his life, but he does bad things.
True.
And he does remind her of that often. Like, I am good to you, but I also kill people that cross me.
Yeah.
So, anyway, of course, there's monkey wrenches. Like, one of the guards accidentally lets in, like, an old flame. Mm,
of his?
Mm-hmm.
Also, so like, a jealousy thing.
Yeah, so, like, that happens. And then someone that King, like, killed this family. And one of the family members, like, went to jail before he did it. This was years ago, like, when they were trying to make the alliance. He was, like, in prison or something. Well, he had just gotten out, and they didn't realize it. And the guy made it onto the grounds and, like, tried to kill Savannah.
Oh.
She did, in fact, fall down the stairs during this time.
Okay.
Those fucking stairs. She does live, obviously. He does not. And there's the whole, like, oh, I love you, and I love you enough to let you go. Like, I should have never brought you into this world. Like, you're scared of me now, and blah, blah, blah. You know, because he didn't communicate anything, as per usual. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're being a fucking idiot. Like, why are you making these decisions for me?
Mm-hmm.
And they end up having a conversation, and at this point, this is towards the very, very end of the book, they finally tell each other they love each other, because they've never said it before.
Okay.
And he gives her, like, the wedding that she's always wanted, which is, like, just on the beach.
Yeah.
And they go on a honeymoon, and yeah.
That wraps it up.
That kind of wraps it up. There is a third book. And the third book is based around Dom, which is the other mafia boss guy who was, like, friends with King, but, like, not really friends,
mm-hmm.
at least from the small part that he was in this book.
Okay.
He definitely wasn't, like, I feel like King was in the first book with Nero a lot, and you kind of, like, learned his character a little bit, but that wasn't, Dom wasn't like that in this book. So I'll be very curious to see how book three is.
Yeah.
But I just, God, I love reading, like, a book that has a really fucking hot, sexy scene. And then, like, the next chapter, you're, like, dying laughing.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, I love those books. So I actually really like this book. I like this book more than I liked Nero's book.
Oh, okay.
So, and the sex was way better in this book.
Okay.
I think the difference in sex, though, was, like, Peyton and Nero, she was, like, very, like, quiet and naive and closed off. So I feel like their sex wasn't as, like, explosive. Mm-hmm. And Savannah and King, like, they both had very high sex drives and, like, were very sexual people. So I feel like their sex scenes were much more detailed and explosive than the first book. Fair. And I don't remember laughing a whole ton in the first book. I don't know.
Well, wasn't she weird?
Yeah, she was weird. And I liked the first book. Yeah, I liked Savannah in this book. Like, I thought she was really funny. And the things that she would say were amusing to me. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why I liked it too. And I liked King better than Nero. I mean, I didn't dislike Nero, but I liked King.
Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, and I actually came across this book by accident. I didn't realize that it was out. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, popped up on my, like, For You or whatever. And I'm like, oh, yes.
Right?
So.
Yeah.
I will read book 3.
Awesome.
So maybe that's what I'll, when I pop in next, maybe that's what I'll pop in with.
Okay.
If I can get to it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, you'll see.
But I always, like, take a book to a softball tournament and, like, think I'm going to read, like, in between games.
Mm-hmm. It never happens.
That never happens. I'm either too busy drinking High Noons mm-hmm. out of my mom tumbler. Mm-hmm. Or we're running around getting food or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to try, though. But, yeah.
Yeah. You just do what you can mm-hmm. do. Yeah, I am still rereading certain parts of the really long Black Decker yeah. Brotherhood.
Yep.
So when Kim comes back and does part 2 of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what's coming up next. I know there's a whole bunch, like, I recently went through my library.
Yeah.
Because you know me, when I want something, I, like, pre-order it, and then all of a sudden it's like a gift, it shows up.
Right.
So there's so many, like, the last, This Woman series.
Mm, yeah.
That, you know, I haven't done it. I still haven't followed up on the Meghan March, Mount thing. I know that you tried to read it and didn't really care much for it. I'm mm-hmm. still gonna try to give it a go. I just haven't had a chance to. So much shit just keeps popping up, and I'm gonna get to it, I swear.
I know. We did have a listener reach out to us. And
isn't her name, like, Emma?
Yeah, she did give us a book recommendation, and it was the author was Mia Kingsley, The Twisted Kingdom.
Okay.
So maybe I'll look into that.
Okay.
And see. I don't think we've ever read Mia Kingsley. It doesn't sound familiar to me.
It doesn't sound familiar, but we'll
so
have to
and
see.
She does like the Mount series. Well, I don't know about the last book.
Meghan March.
Yeah, she did like that series, so maybe it's similar. So we'll see.
Well, Emma, thanks for reaching out and taking the time to do the message. That's super awesome of you. We really appreciate when the fans, you know, are actual fans and no hate mail or anything. So thanks for that. Yeah. And we will definitely look into your suggestion. Yeah. So again, thanks for reaching out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. I have a day. It's fucking Sunday when we're recording this, and all the things that have to be done, and it's just, you know, our list of stuff is just ridiculous. But, you know, everyone's got something. But we will be back again with Morgan whenever you can for the next couple of months during Crazy Kid stuff. Let me know when you're gone for tournaments, when your pool is open. I told you I would personally be watching out for the pool for you.
I'll let you know.
You'll let me know.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, as a good friend, I want to just make sure that that's protected in your absence.
Right.
Cause I'm awesome.
I appreciate that.
I know you do. All right. Well, we will see you again soon.
All right.
Have a great week.
Goodbye.